can make $1 million tomorrow, I will still have nothing. There's a force in the universe that just wants your creativity to be squeezed out of you. It wants your creativity dead. The bigger the resistance you feel towards something, the more important that thing will be for the grand scheme of the universe. If you really want to get crazy ideas, you got to be crazy confident. You got to have balls of steel when you approach life. I pissed my pants when I wrote my first post, but that's the beauty. You get to know if these ideas are worth something. I saw Legos as my future because brick by brick, you were working towards something that was bigger than you. That installed the purpose concept instantly in my mind. I love being here, helping people, using this brain I have to help people become something greater. I want to help people build what they want. I want to help people build their dreams. This is a gift you've been given. This is the biggest blessing you have. You can change lives with this.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Ryan Lay Podcast. This is the first episode, and today I have a very special guest. He is a man on a mission. He is obsessed with Diet Coke and Pepsi. He is the CEO of creativity and also the funniest guy I've ever met on the internet. Peyro, welcome to the podcast, my brother.
Much appreciation, Ryan. When you reached out to me, you were like, yo, let's get on a podcast. It's going to be my first podcast. And honestly, I was excited because I've seen about what you've been doing lately and you've been crushing it. And honestly, man, I'm just hyped to be here for the journey, to watch you just grow. And yeah, man, it's insane, bro. So yeah, I'm excited to get into today. I hope that we can have a very spiritually enlightening conversation. So I'm excited for that.
Absolutely, man. Let's get into it. When I first met you, I'm gonna be honest, I didn't believe that you were 14 years old, but I want to understand the journey and the mindset that you've adopted from being so young in the creator economy and how this is attributed to your success as a creator and an entrepreneur.
Well, I first started as a YouTuber. I was on self-improvement for a year, you know, holistic self-improvement, meditation, journaling, all that, the boring stuff. And I started off doing that for around a year, and then I graduated. I call this a self-improvement graduation, where after a period of time, people will start posting self-improvement content and start doing self-improvement less. It's very interesting. Once I did that, a video of mine went viral. It was called What Undertale Taught Me. Undertale's a very like popular game. I think you know it by your smile. Yeah, I love that game, man. And you know, I made a video on that. I got like 15k views, hundreds of likes, and I was so shocked because this was so novel to me. You know, all the self-improvement videos I was posting before, like no one liked that. Like no one was watching it. Only a few people like glazing me, whatever. Like they were just like, "Yo, this video is good." When I knew they weren't even watching, and then just to see the great feedback that Undertale video got, even when it wasn't specifically self-improvement, you know, it was great to me. I was so happy to see people enjoying it, and people, not only self-improvement people, but like tons of different people from the gaming community, the music community, the YouTube community, were all coming together, and they're like, "Yo, this is a good video." And that really hyped me up, and I was, I don't want to claim this, but I was kind of the revival of the new Undertale meta, which, I don't know about you, but I've seen so much more Undertale videos nowadays, it's actually insane, but, yeah, so after that video, which, by the way, that was the video I've ever done with a script, and I was really excited, and I was like, if this video went viral, and I was using a script, imagine what I could do if I was just writing instead, you know, and I'm a way better writer than I am a speaker. I suck at speaking. Like, I'm horrible at speaking compared to writing, so...
No, you're a great speaker,
I was like, thank you. And I was like, I want to do this. I want to help people. I want to change people. Not just with boring self-improvement advice, but with actual, you know, creator advice that can help them go viral and make content and, be fulfilled. So I decided to get on Twitter. And originally, I had a mentor. He was a pretty well-known guy in the space. And then I believe he quit. He's still posting content, but he kind of, I don't want to say fell off, but he kind of did fall. Now I'm here, and shit, man, I mean, I've been on Twitter for around 9 months, give or take. So I'm kind of a grandpa.
And grandpa.
What can I say? And like, I've seen creators come and go. And the biggest thing that, like, most well-known creators, the most, like, that long-lasting creators, the biggest thing that they have is just... creativity is the ability to use their ideas, to leverage their ideas and become someone that doesn't only post niche content, someone that posts inspirational content, someone that posts content that matters, as opposed to someone who just pumps out boring content like self-improvement videos. And that was kind of the birth of my creativity, I guess, the creative branding at month four of my 8-month journey. I was like, it was around month three or four where I shifted from books and philosophy to creativity, and I was like, I want to be doing this full time because this is what most things in the world revolve around. So yeah, I dedicated myself, even before this, I was dedicated to, you know, I read a few creativity books, but then by that time period, month four, I dedicated myself to just reading tons of books on creativity. This one right here being my favorite, and I'm quickly suggest this book to anyone who's interested. The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, legendary book.
Yeah,
it's a great book. It honestly changed my perspective on anything. So a quick recommendation there. And yeah, I dedicated myself to just learning about creativity as much as possible. And then I made a brand off of it, and I eventually went into the ghostwriting niche. I started off as a VA, and then I for a specific lead gen agency, and then I graduated to a ghostwriter. I made around $600, and then I just left very recently, around 2 weeks ago, because I was like, I don't want to be doing this. I want to be focused more on fulfilling coaching and expanding my work instead of just ghostwriting for one specific agency. And then now I'm here. I built a completely different offer, and that's what I've been working on so far, man. That's a journey that led me here.
Wow, such an inspirational journey. And you're just 14. That's insane. Like, I don't even know what I was doing when I was 14. Probably, I think on our previous call, I was talking about playing GTA or something.
Well, real quick, I hate to interrupt, but let me tell you something about GTA, right? It was probably the most, like, I wouldn't say traumatic, but the weirdest game I've ever played. Because there were missions, specific missions, where I had to watch very weird shit go down. And that's kind of when I realized that video games, they weren't really my thing. I love fantasy video games. When it comes to real video games, you know, they're not my thing. And I think that is the biggest time waster nowadays. And I had to watch my cousin, my 8-year-old cousin, just do that. And, like, get addicted to video games. And that pissed me off. And I was like, I'm going to make something out of myself, compared to just what I was doing a few years ago, just sitting at this very desk right here playing fucking Bed Wars on the monitor, you know? And yeah, I still play Bed Wars. It's a good game. But, like, the point is, you got to have balance, and you got to work on what's important. So yeah.
Sure. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right. So diving into some more X related stuff. In your pinned post, as I was reading through, I noticed something that really stood out to me. So you said that you spent 7 months, so basically most of your journey on X, trying to be a comedian and not a writer. Could you walk me through that journey from day one until now, and what kind of struggles you faced along the way, and what you've discovered about yourself?
Yeah, so it was a bit of an exaggeration there. It was less of 8 months, it was more of kind of 7, because month one, I was focused on being like an asshole smartass the entire time, like a philosophical smartass, and that was a big mistake, because no one listens to a smart guy, you know, no one wants to listen to a smart guy, and then when you have someone who's just yapping philosophical jargon all the time, it gets boring.
Yeah.
So right. I was like, I'm gonna switch from this. My mentor even told me this is boring. So I was like, I'm gonna switch. I'm gonna be funny. I'm gonna be the funny guy on X, and I just started posting content that, yeah, it helped people. It showed my experience, but I was leaning more towards the funny side. You know, I have this viral post that everyone will not let me live down. It was like, it was when I posted myself, I was like, bro, I'm horny. It's 5 a.m. I'm on the toilet, and I'm still a better writer than you. And like, everyone's calling me the toilet writer now, and I'm not living that down. And it's crazy, bro. Like, that post defined that era of X back then. You know, it was insane. And, you know, back then, I was just the funny guy of Twitter, and everyone liked me. But the issue with being the funny guy is that's all they'll ever view you.
Right.
They'll never... Listen, I said this a while ago, but no one will ever pay for an entertainer unless they want to be entertained. Mm-hmm. You would never want to be coached by an entertainer. You want to be coached by a problem solver. And when you have a problem solver in your corner, it opens up so much more doors, let's say, compared to an entertainer, which just wants to make you happy and just wants to, you know, make you laugh. And no one would pay to be to be or to be coached by an entertainer. So it's much better to be useful. And then that's when I made that change a few weeks ago. I was like, I'm going to dedicate myself to becoming someone useful. I'm going to become helpful in the X community. I'm going to become someone people like, someone people find humorous without being like the guy known for humor, you know? So every post I wrote from then on, I was like, this post, if it's value or authority, it has to solve one problem. I have to write that post with a problem in mind and the solution in mind. Otherwise, it's a trash post, you know, unless it's entertainment or anything like that or personality. And that's when I realized that people, they love when their problems are solved. They love useful content.
Yeah.
No one wants like useless content. It's just like, okay, so what, bro? I saw this from Kieran Drew a while ago. For educational posts, people want their problems to be solved. For inspirational posts, people want stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
For personality posts, people want entertainment, right? So the desire for entertainment goes to personality posts. The desire for inspiration goes to story posts. The desire for education goes to problem-solving posts. And those are the three main topics that a creator has to tackle when they write. But the biggest one has to be problem-solving.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So if they don't solve problems, nothing will happen in their creator business.
Yeah, problems are everything.
That's when I made that change.
Yeah, you got to solve them.
Exactly.
And I guess the question is, those three big pillars, right? What's the ratio between like the good amount of personality posts, value posts, etc.?
This is like a big topic in the content strategy kind of industry, I'd say. But most people agree that, you know, if we were to talk about X specifically, one personality post every day, one authority slash story post every day, and one problem posting, problem solving post every day. That's a basic split, I'd say. And I agree on this kind of, but at the same time, you're going to want to be more useful than you are funny. Ideally, the more useful you are, the more clients you'll attract, the more people you'll attract who will view your content compared to people who will just scroll the timeline, like and laugh and then keep scrolling, you know?
Mm-hmm. So that actually brings up a good point, because I feel like a lot of people come onto X looking for dopamine, you know, like that short platitude or like that really funny post. And so I guess what you're saying is like, the true clients that you genuinely want to work with aren't going to be the guys searching for dopamine, right? Because they are going to be the ones that actually want to improve themselves, actually want to learn something and actually create value for not just themselves, but like other people. And so they aren't necessarily on X to learn or to just get dopamine. They're also there for your value. They're not just there for your entertainment, which is pretty interesting because I feel like there's a huge shift right now where everyone's viewing X as boring, but it's actually shifting away from value towards entertainment. Where do you see the future going?
I see guys like you losing. I see assholes like you who are like, guys, I gained 5,000 followers in the first 3 seconds. You see so much basic branding nowadays that you're one of the only guys who have stood out from that kind of basic branding. So big props to you on that, man.
Appreciate it.
But I see the future of X and Twitter and writing in general become super, super novel. I see, like, I genuinely can't imagine 1 year from now how different Twitter will be, because everything's already changing. You know, people are picking up on the bullshit that most gurus spat at us. People are picking up on how boring most of the posts are, you know, and from that, people are also joining Twitter more. So we won't only get like a completely new wave of people, we'll get a completely new wave of fans, a newer audience. And that's a very, very, it's going to be something very interesting, because no one will want to learn from, you know, us old heads who have no idea what we're doing, who have just been on the platform for a long time. They want to learn from guys like you who have, you know, gotten these insane results really quickly. And that's kind of what most people want. They want quick results as soon as possible, which isn't a bad thing per se, but I see this trend of wanting quick results and people go finding mentors and mentors that can like get them results as fast as possible. I see that decreasing by a shit ton in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. I think like beyond that, the quality of potential prospects looking for quick success is actually lower because they aren't in it for the long game, you know? But whenever the earlier wave was coming in like several months ago, I think everyone is more into the long-term game, because all the top guys right now weren't quick successes.
It depends on what you would define as a quick success, because I've seen guys like Martin and Sean Arnie. Like, I literally watched them grow every dollar, every penny, every follower. I watched them grow like that. I was there before them. Literally all of them. I was every single creator you can think of. I was there posting content before them. This is going to sound kind of egotistical, but I think out of this new generation, I might be the most experienced writer out of all of them. That's, I sound like an asshole, but like, that's the epiphany that I've had. And it's like, of course, knowledge doesn't specifically come from experience, but having that ability to just be experienced in writing or whatever it may be, it's fucking powerful, dude. And, you know, I watch these creators grow, and they're great at growing. And, like, honestly, I'm not trying to be like they got lucky or anything. Luck is definitely a part of it, and I think anyone that denies luck is just a bit of an asshole. But it's definitely part of it. But these creators, I watch them grow, and it's really impressive how they are growing. And they continue to grow to this day. And honestly, it's a testament to the more you learn, the more you earn. And the more you apply on that knowledge, the faster you'll earn. So, yeah, honestly, I wouldn't say that they didn't take a long time, but they just executed knowledge as fast as possible. And that's how you get ahead on Twitter and on any social media platform. You get knowledge from a set of people, whether that be your tribe of mentors or courses or whatever. You execute it as fast as possible. You get results. Repeat.
Yeah, it's that simple. And yeah, the results are coming in really quick now for a lot of people. Like, just in this month of July, we've seen some accounts just absolutely go to the moon from various different mentors, actually. They're all producing high-quality results. But something I noticed is that the majority of their clients actually aren't seeing as great of results, and it's only, like, those top few that they're working with that are seeing, like, the insane results that, you know, are replicatable and are really attractive right now on X. So what do you think about that?
A little birdie told me that one of the best storytellers, at least one of the perceived best storytellers that I've seen people, like, genuinely praise on Twitter, you know, he's an up-and-comer, like, around lower than 1,000 followers. A little birdie told me that all of his paying clients so far have been in the two figures, have been $10, $30, $50. And that just goes to show that people's results and these kind of creator mentorships aren't as effective as most people think they would be, you know? Like, I've heard the sauce, I guess you could say. You know, these people, they don't give as much value as they could because they're, you know, they're putting that off for their one-to-one mentorships, like their specific one-to-one mentorships, which are super high ticket, you know, $2,000, $3,000, maybe even more or less, give or take $1,000. For those people who really, really want to learn about writing and stuff like that. So they sell a dream, and then that's how they get people into their kind of cohorts or communities or smaller or lower ticket mentorships. And then they just, those people in those lower ticket mentorships don't get as good as results as they're promised. You know, they get results, but they don't get good results. You know, they get marketable results where they can, like, type in, oh, fucking this guy got that. They can say that, but the results, once you put it into real retrospect, are not shocking at all.
Yeah, not shocking. You know? Yeah, they're not good. Yeah. Speaking of results, this tweet really stood out to me. December, $0 a month. January, $0 a month. February, $0 a month. Now, $200 a month. It doesn't happen overnight until it does.
Until it does. Yeah. I'm going to just be real. I stole the last two lines from Sean Canella. I think I did. He was like, it doesn't happen overnight until you make it happen overnight. He said something like that, and I just kind of wrote that. But yeah, Sean's a great guy. He's a great writer as well. And I was like, I could make this into something, you know, something more original. I can make it into something sexier.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wouldn't say, like, I plagiarized the post, but I kind of did steal it a little bit. But so yeah, that's cards on the table right there.
That's the game. But, that's the game.
Still, it is the game, honestly, man. Yeah. And I have the book right there. And honestly, that post, it meant a lot to me because it just showed, it was a testimony of not how much money I'm making. It was a testimony that what I'm doing worked. You know, and that was when I was working for the lead gen agency I mentioned earlier, where I was ghostwriting for them and I was doing some VA work for them. Yeah. And that's when I realized, yo, this is possible. You know, like, I could make money from the internet. And that money went to fund this watch right here.
I love Castro. That. I have that exact watch. I love it.
You're awesome, man. Yeah, F91W. Yeah. And some of it also went to fund this iPhone I'm recording this on. And some of it went to fund the creative act right there. And also this poster on my wall, this right here.
Yeah.
Kanye West and Kid Cudi.
And all those books too, right?
That's the power of Wi-Fi money. Most of these books, yeah. That's the power of Wi-Fi money, man. Like, you can do your work. You can find a skill set. People will pay for that skill set. Mm-hmm. You'll get results for them, and then they'll pay you even more money. That's actually insane to think about. And I was like, I got to write this in a post, man. I got to write down how I'm feeling. And I saw Sean Cannell's post, stole that shit, and I wrote that down. And it went more viral than I expected. It got like 10,000 views and a few dozen likes. I think there are definitely better posts that I've written, but like a post like that, it really means a lot to me because it's testimony of progress. Yeah. And progress matters most. Like, it's the biggest metric, progress. You can make millions of dollars, you can get thousands of followers, but if you're not progressing, then you haven't made anything, you know, in all aspects of life.
Mm. Yeah, so I guess my next question is, whenever you reach a milestone or like a goal that you set for yourself, do you find satisfaction in it, or do you just look ahead and look towards the next big mission?
I haven't really been caring about goals specifically. I'll set deadlines and I'll set goals, but they're not as big as most people would expect. Like, I have a list of my 2024 goals on my mirror there. And, you know, they're big goals, like get to 10K, you know, get this much subscribers. But when I wrote that, I was a fucking loser when I wrote that, bro. Like, I could beat up the guy who wrote that. Like, that's the progress I was talking about. Like, yeah. If you look at yourself a month from now and you can't beat him up and you can't, like, absolutely destroy him in a competition, then you haven't really progressed. And it's like, every day I'm getting better, you know. There could be a day where I literally sit down and play video games and do nothing, which has happened yesterday. And it was like, I'm still progressing, which is insane, you know?
Yeah.
I could beat up the yesterday version of myself. I could beat up that guy. Okay, that's the blessing of being, like, so young, man. Like, even if you're doing nothing, I feel my body growing. I feel my mind growing. The more books I read, the more podcasts I get on, the more Diet Coke or water I drink. And that's, like, the blessing of progress, you know? And that's just amazing to me how people can, you know, reach goals and do all this stuff and progress so massively. And for me, it's less of reaching goals. It's more of improving every day and seeing what I can do for my future self, which would be myself tomorrow. And for my future self right now, it would just be writing as much newsletters as I can today. Today's my email writing day, and I got to get to writing emails because I haven't sent one in 2 days, and I'm pissed off because I have a really good one.
I
haven't finished it yet. Yeah,
I'm so excited to start my own newsletter. So much more freedom to write instead of like squeezing it all into one little tweet, you know? And then like the ability to then recycle and repurpose it into like tweets in its own. I think that's super exciting. I can't wait to start mine, but I'm waiting until I hit 400, 500 followers, and then I'm going to drop the newsletter for sure. But I'm super excited to start.
I suggest you start now, man. Like, I mean, you don't have to, but the earlier you start, the better, because you have, this is what I call beginner's potential. And this is what, I wouldn't dedicate your success to this, but this is kind of what most creators on X have when they first start out, beginner's potential, where the newer they are to a specific thing, the better results they'll get, the more momentum they get, and the more reader trust they get. So, you know, if you start a newsletter, you can be like, this is my newsletter, this is what's going to happen. You guys are going to be exclusive, you guys are going to see me from ground up. And people love when you build in public, so. Yeah, I started mine like a month into my creator journey. It was a philosophy thing back then. A big email writer helped me out, and it was awesome, honestly. And you were right, newsletters are so freeing, man, and I can't wait for you to just delve your head into that. But I will say, I told John Chen this as well. You can't go into writing emails with the same mentality you would as writing a post. Huge difference, and I just want to warn you of that, you know, because I've seen some creators write great writers on Twitter, you know, high-impact posts that have changed my life. I go onto their emails, I click off the moment I read the first line. So they're both different skills, but they are both writing. So, yeah, I suggest you research more into email writing.
All right, time to get into creativity. This tweet stood out to me. I'm 14 and my life sucks. I don't have a girlfriend, perfect grades, thousands of dollars, but I do have my creativity. So I'll work as hard as I can to build my future.
Do you know how much results that got? I remember it got like a few thousand views, right?
150 likes or so.
Crazy. I wrote that? When I wrote that, I remember this now. This is also a steal tweet from Ben Chen. I think I kind of I stole the framework from him a bit. And it's like, people love when other people show their story. I already mentioned this, but build in public. And when you mention your age and what you're going through, it's huge. People will eat that shit up because they might not relate to the experience, but they know the experience. They know it from your vision. And if you can give people a little bit of your vision, that means so much to them. It builds such a good connection. And when I wrote that, I was like, I have a skill that most people don't. Like, my ideas. I'm the most creative motherfucker out there. I was literally writing a post while you were speaking. The post written down in my mind. I can't wait to write it down on my other iPhone 12. And it's like, all these ideas like I get on a day-to-day basis. It's insane to me because, you know, it's a good skill I have and I'm proud of myself for it. So I was like, I may not make four figures. I may not get thousands of followers. I may not even like be the best writer on earth, but I'm creative. I have ideas and I know that I will keep building towards these ideas. I'll stay consistent in them and I'll build whatever I can. And that post meant a lot to me as well because it was like, once again, testimony to this time. It was consistency, you know? I was proving to people, hey, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be consistent. Watch me or leave me, bitch. So that was the main idea.
Wow, yeah, you just can't escape the creativity, huh? It just comes to you. It just flows to you. That's amazing, man. What makes creativity so profitable is that it doesn't have a business model. You can go viral, get money, and make a living with any business, provided you're creative. The issue? Most people don't know creativity, and they believe the answer is within another business. What do you mean by... Yeah, it's deep. It's so deep, man. What do you mean by the fact that people are looking for the answers in another business?
I think you know Instant Growth. He's one of the best ghostwriters on Twitter. He's a big, big guy, and he was working on businesses since he was, you know, 12, 13, 14, whatever. And it's like, that's what I'd say is the big, big issue. There's so much business models and so little dedication, you know? And Vincent found the one that lets him express his creativity in the highest form. Ghostwriting is like the ultimate form of like business, I'd say, or creative business models. You get to take... thousands of people's ideas, you steal their ideas and you articulate them yourself. Like, isn't that insane to think about? You know, it's a business model. It is, it's the highest creative potential business model, like one of the highest, at least next to web design and coding. So that was like, well, like once I thought about that, I was like, no one will actually do this. Everyone will stick to drop shipping or boring SMMA or stuff like that. No one will take the time to realize maybe these businesses aren't the problem. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I should find one that speaks to me and doesn't just make me money. And I'm not gonna. That might not have been what Vincent did, but I can see that definitely he's growing like crazy. He's getting crazy results, and I'd say that's in part because, you know, he's a smart guy, and mostly other ghostwriters, they don't want to admit this, but like, I was also talking to a writer a while ago, a big one, 30,000 followers. Been copywriting for like literally I think he started the day that I was born, which is crazy to think about. So he's been copywriting for 14 years. And I talked to him and he was like, yeah bro, creativity has nothing to do with copywriting. And then, you know, I felt like an asshole being skeptical about him because like he's literally been writing like since I was born, you know, and I felt like an asshole being skeptical. But it was like, are you sure about that? Like, creativity is just the reunion and division of ideas. And writing is the ultimate form of idea articulation. So if you're going to sit here and tell me that your copywriting, you know, it doesn't require any creativity, I think it's wrong because I think that everything requires creativity. I think that these ghostwriters and coaches just don't want to admit that maybe their brain is like the strongest power and not just their growth tactics or their fucking persuasion methods they work so hard on. Maybe that the real persuasion is in the strength of their ideas. And that's what my current brand is about. So yeah, that's kind of what I think about that. People switch businesses too often, and it's sad to see, because if they found one that really speaks to them, they would stick to that business and not just switch. And once people find that business they love, that they feel connected to, that it's also a creative outlet for them, it's gonna benefit them so much. And I think that's the point when they find their ultimate creator business, where this is, or they're like, this is what I will do for the rest of my life. And that's a beautiful feeling, at least from what I've seen from most people.
Yeah, man, that is beautiful. And I think it's also, beautiful things are hard to come by. And I feel like a lot of people come into business searching for that one thing, that one gift that they can share with the world and turn into a business. And it's just a constant struggle. So do you think that this is something we find, or something that we immerse ourselves within by failing, by figuring things out, and by discovering by doing?
Depends on the person, but it's usually the second option. Like, most people don't know this about me, but I've always been creative as a kid. You know, ever since I was 5 years old, I was building structures out of bottles. I wrote a book on creativity when I was like six, and like, I've just been working on being creative my entire life. And like, I'd say I'm one of the lucky people who didn't really need to, you know, go through all this. But the people who don't get ideas as naturally as me, they might have to struggle more. They might have to go through different businesses, different hobbies, whatever, to find a thing that really sticks. So for most people, 99% of the population, is trial and error. You know, I can't deny that I'm lucky with ideas and everything. But for most people, it's just trial and error. It's trying, finding out what business works, what business doesn't work, which one they like, which one they don't like, which ideas are stronger than the other, etc. So yeah, it all really depends on the person, but hey, you just gotta try and find out what sticks. Specifically, throw shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, I love that. You mentioned something about being creative naturally and I think that's so fascinating, because when it comes to like ideas like purpose and passion, a lot of the passions you end up discovering as an adult later in your life actually turn out to be the things you were passionate about or fascinated by as a kid. And I wanted to hear your thoughts about that, because you're evidence of it, right? You were creative as a kid, and now it's the brand. It's your brand. It's your business.
Yeah, I'd say that for most cases, when you are a creative person naturally, it just means that you get tons of ideas, you know, your ideas, like, they're abundant, basically. And as a kid, I was always in my fantasies, basically. I was thinking about different things I could do with this, that, what I could make this, what I could do with this. I was always building different structures, stories, ideas in my head. And I eventually articulated this into real life, where I started, you know, doing stuff like fucking dress up, cosplay, stuff like that, you know, where I was just like expressing my fantasies, building Legos. I literally have a Lego box right here. I bought this like a week ago, bro. It's not on my desk. I put it somewhere else. But like, yeah, that Lego City, by the way, if anyone's interested, it is model 60399. And when I was working on that, like, Lego, it just reminded me of it when I was a child, when I was building my future. I saw Legos as my future, because brick by brick, you were working towards something that was bigger than you. And that installed the purpose concept instantly in my mind. So when I learned about purpose, it became so much easier for me to digest. And honestly, being creative at a young age, it doesn't come down to just genetic talent. It comes down, you know, it is kind of genetic talent. It does depend on your genetics and the, I don't know, the fucking shape of your right brain. But for me, in my instance, it was more of just how, I'd say, egotistical I was, and how egotistical I still am. You know, the ego plays a big part in creativity. I used to say that, oh, you know, you can't be egotistical. You can't, you should do this, you should do that. You should be a learner, whatever. And of course, there's times for that. But if you really want to get crazy ideas, you got to be crazy confident. You got to have balls of steel when you approach life. You got to be brave. And that's where my creativity comes from, man.
Be brave, yeah.
Exactly. You know, ideas will come to you if you're just brave and you look for more opportunities.
Yeah, man. Along your content creation journey, what's the most memorable, I guess, creative thing that you've done and wrote about? It could be something super bold, something crazy, something boring. It could be anything that has really stuck out to you and something that you'll never forget along your journey to becoming a more creative person.
I'm going to have to think about this. Give me a moment. It's a very good question. Shit. It's a very, very good question. Hold on. I might have to answer with a few, though. A few.
That's moments, fine. That's okay. Top three. Top three.
Yeah, top three. I can't really pinpoint like a specific moment that changed. When I read this book back-to-back with this book, these are two very separate books. They're both nonfiction. This is Tuesdays with Mori. This is my favorite book of all time. This book is about death, empathy, love, and life. And reading this made me realize that I have nothing. As a person, as a being, I have nothing. I can make $1 million tomorrow. I will still have nothing. I can get 1,000 followers tomorrow. I will still have nothing. Nothing is owed to me. It will never be owed to me. So the biggest thing I can focus on is what I can do for myself to maximize, you know, how good my life is and to maximize how good other people's lives are. And I can do that by writing useful content and becoming a better person. And this book was also the inspiration for that. And it was the duality of that, kind of, where it taught me about resistance, basically. It taught me that creative resistance exists. There's a force that you can't see on Earth, in the universe, that just wants your creativity to be squeezed out of you. You can call this the Matrix or whatever, but like, this force wants you, it wants your creativity dead. It wants every semblance of something new, something original. It wants it dead. This is the procrastination you feel when you're going down to write and you just can't think of anything. That's the resistance coming towards you. It's the procrastination you feel when you work towards a big project. And all the time, this is true, the bigger the resistance and laziness you feel towards something, the more important that thing will be, not only to you, but for the grand scheme of the universe. We're getting spiritual, but yeah. And reading those two books back to back.
So profound. Yeah.
Profound, yeah. Reading those two books back to back kind of made me realize that, shit, nothing is owed to me, and I just gotta make it while I can, because there are forces out there that don't want me to make it, whether that be the devil on like the Matrix or just other people, you know? So yeah, that would be a top three, I'd say. Top two or top three. Another one I'd say... Okay, I remember this very specifically. I think this was before X, not in the 9 months, but I'm going to mention it anyway because it had a big, like, a profound impact on me. It was when my best friend, Caden, he messaged me in the middle of the night. He calls me. He's like, bro, you are the Matrix. That's all he said. You are the Matrix. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Let me go to sleep. And then we stayed up for like 2 hours, I think. And then we just started talking about how we... It's so hard to articulate, but we are the Matrix. Because, like, if you think about it, we perceive everything through our own perceptions. You know, nothing is absolute. What is this? What is this? What is this?
Diet Pepsi.
No, it's a soda can. Idiot. Stupid. We perceive things differently. And that fucked me up. It was like, shit. What you may deem as a valuable, useful post, someone else may deem as this guy trying to engagement bait. You know? And, of course, everyone's guilty of this. Everyone does this, where they'll bias something and they'll say it's like this or like that. But you create the world through your perception of the world. And the biggest skill you can have is to take all those perceptions and tell it to shut up. Look at something objectively and look at how it can benefit you and benefit other people. If it doesn't, leave it. At least that's what I got from what he said. And off topic, my friend Caden, he's the reason why I got into all of this. If it wasn't for Caden, I would not be a writer. I probably wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for him. I met him last summer, I think around exactly a year and a month ago. He's probably the smartest, most creative guy I've ever met. He's like the birthplace of Pedro's creativity, I guess you could say. He is the coolest guy ever. So shout out to Caden. anyone who's listening. He's awesome. You can find him on Kaden on YT on YouTube. Search up Kaden on YT. You go subscribe to him right now. He posts great videos.
And,
yeah, he's an awesome guy. So, yeah, he was kind of the start of my creative revolution, you know? So, yeah, he's the start of this journey. So those would be the first two, I'd say.
Okay, first two. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
All right, to top it all off, the world doesn't need more creatives. We have 7.95 billion of them, probably more now. The world needs more creators. We only have a handful. Stop wasting your gift. Start creating today.
You like that?
I love it. Raises a question, right? Like, creative versus creator.
Creativity is a verb. It was never meant to be a noun. It's a verb. And anyone who labels themselves as creative or they have creativity and they don't actually create, they're lying to you. Creativity is a verb. And, you know, people, we're all creative. We all have ideas in one way or another. Some people, they get more ideas than others. That's normal. But all of us, we get ideas. And the biggest creatives I've seen, at least, aren't even talented people like me. They force their brain to be creative through tons of consumption, through tons of work, and through tons of effort. And to see most people who are super creative, especially like my schoolmates, you know, I know this one guy, he's great at drawing, a few other girls too, they're great at drawing, painting. They have all these great creative talents that they use for nothing. They have these talents, you know, they doodle a few times, they fuck around, but they don't use it to spread awareness, happiness, joy, or anything. And that's, or not even to make money. And that's the biggest sin you can make in, I'd say, probably the entire world. That's fucked up. Like, metaphorically, it's a bad thing you can do. Because this is a gift. Yeah, this is a gift you've been given. This is the biggest blessing you have. You could change lives with this. But you choose to show no one. You choose to be lazy. You choose to hide your talents of drawing, of writing, of poetry, painting. You choose to hide that in your drafts, in your canvases. Why? It makes no sense why anyone would do that. It's the stupidest idea to me, you know? And I'd say a creator isn't only someone who creates. I'd say this is also necessary for a creator. And this is what I also meant with that post. The creator is someone who creates and shares. Because the difference between the Mona Lisa and the Mona Lisa that wasn't shown? You saw the Mona Lisa and you didn't see the one that wasn't shown, bro. What if Vincent, was it Vincent Van Gogh or Leonardo da Vinci? It was Da Vinci, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It was Da Vinci. It was Da Vinci. Imagine if he, like, had an even more beautiful picture, better than the Mona Lisa, but he just didn't share it. Like, I'm like, why? It would be a crime against him and what he stands for to make something so beautiful and show no one. That's a big, big issue with most people. They have great ideas, but they won't execute those ideas. And even if they do execute them, they don't share them. And I'd say a creator is someone who executes his ideas and shares them to the public. And part two takes a lot of fear. You know, it's a lot of courage. Sorry, it's scary. It's fear. It's fearful. I pissed my pants when I wrote my first post. It's horrifying, man. But that's the beauty that comes with it. You get to know if these ideas are worth something. You get to know if they're strong. And most of the times they are, because they're your ideas. There's no such thing as a weak idea, but there are ideas that are stronger than others. So, yeah.
Wow. Man, payroll.
Profound.
This guy, he is 14 years old, ladies and gentlemen. He is the man. He is the CEO of creativity. All right, payroll. I want to end off the podcast with a sort of philosophical question. Say you have a crystal ball, and you can see 5 years into the future. What do you hope to see of yourself and of the world as a whole?
Well, I hope to have finished school. I might be going into university as a psychology student. I hope to have moved somewhere, whether that be to the UK or to the Cook Islands, because I don't like this place I'm living in right now. And I hope to be, I don't want to be rich. I've never liked the rich lifestyle. You know, I just hope to be an idol. I hope to have influence. I hope to help people. I hope to have a stable income to help my family, to be that person who is aware of what he's doing. That's what I want most out of all this awareness, because if I don't have the awareness that I have now, because off topic, but I've probably meditated for more than any other writer on X, arguably. No, that's not, I'm not even saying arguably, that's the truth. I've meditated for like more than 5 days, a cumulative time, like across like a few years, and that's the biggest thing it's given me, awareness, you know. And I love just being here, helping people, using this brain I have to help people become something greater. I don't want to be a mindless NPC just going about life and working at Burger King. I want to help people build what they want. I want to help people build their dreams, as opposed to just being a part of the system, I guess. And I hope in the future, in 5 years, I have the influence, and I hope that people in my community view me as an idol, and I wish to help them as much as I can and to make money off it, because that'd be dope.
So, yeah. All right, Peyron, this has been amazing. Go ahead, let the world know what you've been up to. Plug everything, anything that comes to mind. Let's hear it.
Guys, let me tell you, this guy, Ryan Lay, by the way, I should have asked this first things first. Is it Ryan Lee or Ryan Lay?
Ryan Lay.
I owe John Chan $5. Fuck. But like, this guy, Ryan Lay, he is insane. You know, he's been crushing Twitter lately. One of the most creative brands I've seen in a while in this era of, I will help you brand through authentic storytelling systems with emotion. Like, you've just been completely crushing it. Your whole brand is creative. And yeah, honestly, guys like you, we need more guys like you on Twitter who just share their ideas unfiltered. And you're awesome, man. Seriously, you know, I'd like to thank you for bringing me on here. You know, I'm your first guest. Imagine in a few years, you'll be looking back at this. Hopefully, we'll have like one every few months, or once every year to, you know, really build that creative connection. So, yeah, man, I'm proud of you. I hope that you keep going in everything you're doing, man. I really like you. And if anyone's interested in not only becoming an idol in your community, but learning how to leverage your ideas and articulate your ideas properly, my Idea to Idol program is officially opened. So I'm taking in people who are interested in becoming an influencer in their community, helping people and influencing people to go by their ideas and building a strong idea for the basis of your brand. And it's open. This is completely unfiltered. This is one of my first offers, and I know it works because I've tested this shit a lot with a few other clients. One of my clients has gotten 600 followers in a month from this, and it's awesome. Everything I'm doing, I don't want to glaze myself, but it's pretty awesome. I'd say everything I'm doing, and you know, everything Ryan's doing, everything all these other writers are doing, it's awesome. And I just suggest for you to get into this space of creativity and writing, because it's the best thing you can do for not only yourself. You know, you'll be making money off of it, but you'll also be in a space of people who help build you up compared to these toxic places like Instagram or TikTok, where they want to bring you down. And the best way to do that is to get a mentor. And I'm right here. Ryan's right here. You know, he's a great guy too. It was back and forth, guys. Like, there's like five other people I can recommend to you. Ryan's like top two. But seriously, guys, I'm really happy to be here. I'm happy to spread my messages, spread my ideas, and thanks all of you. Seriously.
Y'all go slide into his DMs and ask for that mentorship right now. Let's go.
It's Pedro. Hold on. At It's Pedro is my Twitter handle. At The Truzy 2 is my Instagram handle. And then The Truzy 2 is my YouTube handle. Three different handles. Yeah.
Yeah. The links are all going to be down in the description.
Yes, sir.
Well, this has been amazing. One hell of a first episode, Pedro. Thank you for hopping on. It's been
absolutely an honor. Man.